Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, Nishawn Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. This evening, my guest is Justin Jackson. He has a bachelor's degree in economics, and we will be discussing, is unarmed protest the way to go? Justin, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
Welcome to my show. Yes, I can hear you. Okay, Justin, do you think Black protesters should be armed?
I think, at this point, the way that, you know, our society and our leadership and government has decided to go, I mean, I don't think just Black protesters should be armed, but I think in general, you know, of course we should show up as in our protests armed. I mean, when you look at, you know, not just the other side and not even looking for violence or anything, but it's just, you know, when you're coming up to a wall with, you know, men carrying AK-47s or AR-15s, and they're ready to shoot people for, you know, protesting for their, you know, equal rights and liberties. I mean, I think at this point, of course, you know, we should. I mean, you know, there's cause for protecting ourselves. I think that's a part of our protest that we have to draw attention to. You know, especially dealing with the recent incidents that we're dealing with now.
Okay, what are key foundations should be taught to Black people as far as gun ownership?
Well, when you talk about gun ownership and you talk about, you know, protests and things of that nature, I think one of the most important things that we have to do, one of the top examples that we have to look at is, you know, the Black Panthers Party of self-defense. You know, we have to look at, you know, the laws themselves, and we have to know the laws and be very familiar with them, be able to, you know, not only just know what our rights are, but also how to exercise our rights, right? So, you know, when you look at Black ownership, one of the things that we want have to, you know, not only teach ourselves, but also recognize is that, you know, a Black person with a gun, you know, and exercising their rights of gun ownership, you know, scares white America, right? You know, and when I say white America, it's just in general, just a Black person with a gun. When you think about all the incidents that we see in movies, all the incidents that we see on news, and just like real life America right now today, you know, they're quick to say an unarmed Black man, you know, or unarmed Black woman. Or if a person is armed, you know, is, you know, it was an illegal firearm is the terminology they like to try to use. So what's important to try to take away the perception, you know, is for us to understand the laws, you know, by changing from it being an illegal firearm to a legal firearm. You know, I think that makes a big difference, you know, being able to carry our firearms without, you know, breaking any laws. Because it's not against the law for us as Black people to have, you know, ownerships of guns or weapons or what have you. And I think, you know, that if one side is arming themselves, then, you know, there has to be some type of retribution on the other side. You know, we have to have some type of ways of defending ourselves. So I think one of the most important things is to do is similar to what the Black Panthers have done, you know, had did in the past, is, you know, be educated with the law, you know, be within the parameters of the law, and at the same time, be in the same parameters of protecting ourselves, you know, while we're fighting for equal liberties and equal rights.
So do you think that is the significance about the Black Panthers?
I think that's one of the significance. Yeah, and I say that because, you know, when you look at protests in general, you know, you look at just the historical factor of it, you know, there's room for, you know, peaceful demonstrations. You know, there's room for, you know, and no one's saying that, you know, hey, we should get our guns and just go to war and just kill anyone we see or anything like that. I don't think, you know, that's the measure that, you know, we should, you know, portray or even, you know, go after. But, you know, as far as self-defense and defending ourselves, absolutely, we should always defend ourselves. It's not, I mean, we not necessarily even fighting back, but there's no way we can ever have those true liberties unless we're defending ourselves. You know, it's not until that we're completely in the right, even by their standard, that we are actually executing our rights, right? So, you know, there was a group that did a demonstration in Louisville, a black militia group, where they went out with their arms, with their rifles, with their guns, and marched in the streets of Louisville for Breonna Taylor. That same group also marched in Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken, where, you know, they were threatened by the, you know, Klansmen, and they actually ran them off. You know, it's not until you say, hey, you know, we're going to defend ourselves, that including even, you know, protecting our lives. But if we have to, you know, take your life, does that matter? It begins to draw any national attention. When you look at what the Black Panther Association, Black Panther Self-Defense Association did, you know, it wasn't the violence. I mean, there wasn't violent people. I mean, there wasn't coming to the scenes and looking for destruction or anything like that. What they were saying was, hey, we want to make sure there's due process and real justice. You know, if you say that this brother or sister has broken the law, then okay, arrest him, file your report, you know, turn your paperwork in and let the courts have it. You know, not beat them down in the streets, not gun them down like a dog, you know, but to make sure that we have our civil liberties and rights that is granted to us by the Constitution that we shouldn't even have to fight for. You know, and I think when those things become under attack, those are things that we should fight for. You know, those are principles that, you know, we have to make the decision on standing upon.
Okay. Justice for us has been denied for far too long. Do you think we should demand justice or should we just take it?
I think both. You know, I don't think, you know, we're going to get justice simply by, you know, we might get some form of justice, you know, the form that's, you know, given to us. But, I mean, like, to receive true justice, I mean, in our situations, we have to take action. As long as, and this is not even just dealing, like, with race, but this is just dealing with, you know, humanity in its whole, like, humanity altogether. You know, we are a species of consequence. It's not until we understand what the consequences are do we really understand the gratitude of our actions, right? So, for example, when you look at, you know, the Black Panthers, right, the reason why they wasn't gunned down in the streets is because they didn't want to gun them. They understood some lives would have been lost right there, and there were gun wars throughout that time. You know, not saying that they didn't want any gun wars, but they wanted to make sure it was favorable in their behalf, right? Same concept as you go through in general. When you look at Japan, when you look at World War II, when the U.S. decided to nuke Japan, to drop the nuclear bomb, you know, they did so not necessarily strictly to win a war, but they decided to do that because they did the calculations and say, well, if we invade Japan, you know, this is the lives that are going to be lost. By dropping these bombs, we're going to save more lives, more American lives. You know, it's not until, you know, the true gravity of a situation is coming to full fold that, you know, reality really settles in. And when you have, you know, especially a country like ours with the leadership that we have right now, who is even, you know, looking at a villain as a hero, you know, a so-called, you know, protester who crossed state lines, breaking the law and killing two citizens and wounding another. You know, like when you see that at the top, because this person is a Trump protester or because this person, you know, speaks in good favor in you, regardless of what their action was, you praise it. You know, that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. And that danger comes with consequences. You know, I don't think it would be smart to stand in front of a wall of people with, you know, AR-15s. But I tell you what, that same wall of people wouldn't stand there if they was met with a bigger wall of people with AR-15s. I know that. You know, they would think about their own lives. The reason why they do it now is because, hey, these are peaceful protesters. At the end of the day, they truly don't want to do anything to destroy their message, you know. So it's important that, you know, we recognize, you know, one, what we're capable of, and two, making sure that we're organized. I think organization is key. We can't have rogue factors going out there just, you know, doing whatever it is that they want to do and destroying the movement or the message. You know, and if you look at the demise of the Black Panther Association, that's what happened. You know, their demise came from within inside the organization. The FBI and local police, you know, infiltrated, right? They infiltrated, set moles in place, and destroyed them from within. And I think, you know, that's the message, divide and conquer. And we can't, if we know that's what they're looking to do, we can't allow that to happen. You know, we can't turn our back on our own allies. So I think, you know, understanding, you know, who's for us, who's pushing for the same causes that we're pushing for, and, you know, protecting yourself always. I think, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes down to a life versus a life, I'm going to choose mine over, you know, anyone else's, probably besides my daughter. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I'm going to choose me. I'm going to choose me to live, you know. And I think that's how we have to look at the situation. We can't just say, hey, I'll lay down and just die. You know, I think it's time for us to live.
I agree. Police are always stoking violence where it didn't exist. What can we do about it?
Well, I mean, they stoke fires where they don't exist to cause, you know, tension and division. You know, but when you look at, you know, especially Black people as a whole, and you look at Black people specifically, you know, there's not a point in time in history that you can really point out where, you know, Black people have had a good relationship with law enforcement, the legislative branch, or the judicial branch in general. You know, you can look at accomplishments, you can look at things that have happened, but you can't say, hey, overall, you know, we had a good relationship in general. You know, I mean, like, when you look at, in general, where law enforcement, you know, where it began, you know, you have your sheriffs, but you didn't really have police until after slavery, you know, and that was literally to harass and arrest as many Black bodies as they can to make them continue to work on those plantations. And that's where you start seeing your real, true influx of mass incarceration. I don't know if you saw the documentary 13th. It was a great Netflix special that, you know, really breaks down the prison system and how it's been weaponized against Black America, you know, from the very beginning of non-slavery, if you want to, you know, view it that manner, in that manner, you know. And I think that it's important for us to, you know, one, educate ourselves and recognize that. And then once we're able to recognize that, at that point we can begin to be able to take power for ourselves.
Okay. If you have a comment or a question, dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. Okay. Justin, does nonviolent protest work?
I think there's a place for nonviolent protests. You know, like, I'm not saying that, you know, protests should become violent. You know, I don't think that, you know, personally, I think it's going to hurt us more to say, hey, you're against this one thing that I'm for, so we're going to become strictly violent. I think, you know, peaceful protests and, you know, peaceful acts and acts of diplomacy is very important and has a place at the same time.
Well,
at the same time,
I think
violent protest has its place as well. I think you know, one piggybacks off of the other. You know, when you look at, you know, South Africa, for example, right? You look at South Africa when they had the apartheid movement, right? And those who are Trevor Noah fans, you hear Trevor Noah talking about this movement a lot. You know, this is something huge. It's pretty much where you know, white colonialism came and settled in South Africa and much of Africa in itself, and pretty much tried to enslave the continent, right? And what happened? We fought back. You know, Mother Africa fought back. And because of it, Mother Africa fought back, they was able to gain independence and gain certain liberties. Because, you know, blacks wasn't outnumbered there. You know, like, that was in native land. And what you saw was, you know, both peaceful protests and non-peaceful protests. When you look at wars in general that is fought throughout the world, right here, the Revolutionary War, you have both peaceful peaceful protests. You also have non-peaceful protests. And it's the non-peaceful protests that make people want to make peace with the peaceful protests. And I think that in itself should, you know, that type of knowledge should let us know that it's like, you know, there's a place. You can't really say, you know, peaceful protest is always going to work, because it's not. It's absolutely,
I don't think it works
won't.
Most of the time. Wait, hold on 1 second. 5073, you have a comment or a question? 5073?
Okay. You're not giving us a chance to answer anything on, you had 3 or 4 questions out there, and you two are talking. You asked first, should blacks be armed while protesting? And then you all went off on something else. Okay, I want to comment. And I was
going comment?
To ask the gentleman, he never did answer if he thought they should or should not. You can't straddle the fence. And I think that if the majority of the protesters are armed, you're going to turn it into a revolution.
Absolutely.
I still
What's
believe
wrong with a revolution?
That you can protest without carrying a gun. What happens when you protest, you got to go further than the protest. You just can't keep marching in the street. You still got to start asking for something and demanding something. They'll let you protest for the rest of your life, but that's not going to gain you anything. And just because they are armed, that's when you got to get whatever town you are in, the protesters should have security. They should be giving up the security to the protesters. And then that's where you come in with a different
Here's
kind
my question
of protest.
To you, Carl. Here's my question to you. You say that the protesters should have security, and I agree with you. Here's my question. Who should be the protest security?
Pardon?
Who should be the protest security?
Well, it all depends. Now, if the police can't or won't protect the protesters, then they should have some other group that has the same concern who have done this before. Hey, say, like the Muslims. They got their own army. And they, if they can guard the president, they can guard some protesters. But you just can't have the average person out on the street protesting, because a lot of these protesters aren't really protesting. They just out there to see what trouble they can start. They like, I say, they like numbers, and they want to be part of the numbers. And probably a lot of them out there is not even going to vote, and they don't even really know why they're there. They just want to be with what's going on right now at this time.
Caller, can I ask you a question? Second question for me. How many protesters have you talked to? Have you actually interviewed?
How many protesters that I have talked to? Well, the ones that I talked to wouldn't protest anyway. They are still with the status quo. They don't believe that they will make a difference, or either, well, I'm of age and they're too old, but I try to tell them, you're never too old to have your voice heard. The reason I protest, number one, is my mom's no longer living because she probably would not approve because she probably think somebody will kill me. And but I think I could fight back. But a lot of them don't think that's a problem. It's a lot of older people, over 35, don't think anything's wrong in this country. Long as they got a job, they have their pension coming in, so they sit at home. And I'm telling them, but what about your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? That's why I am out there. And if push comes to shove, I would protect myself, but I wouldn't just want to go armed, because if you go armed, one day you're going to have to kill somebody.
Correct.
Or be killed. And it's evident when you carry a gun, one day you're going to use it. So for myself,
okay,
I stopped carrying guns because I used to carry them all the time. And I found out that somebody would make me shoot them, and it wouldn't have been easy because I would have shot them. So I stopped carrying a gun.
So what about those incidents where you might find yourself in those situations and you don't have your gun and you can't beat that person?
Tell you like I tell the people at work. If anything goes down on my job, I'm the only black female and I work with the only black male, rest of them white. I already know my weapon if anything happened up in there. Every day I go to work, and everywhere in different departments I go, I got a weapon, and it's not a gun. Because I try to stay ready. It could be that I might have some mace if I'm out there in a march. I'm going to have something, but to be armed with a weapon, that's what I'm talking about. Because I'm always ready.
But what is mace to? I mean, like my question is this: you know, when I look at a lot of stuff that's going on, and I look at the media, and like for example, the latest killing, the NBA, that sparked the latest protest, and then led to the NBA even boycotting. You know, these guys have guns. Like you can have a mace, You can even have a knife.
Boycotting is a good weapon.
You say what?
You don't even have to fire a gun. You can shut down an economy by not using it.
And
that's what I think past the marching, that's what we ought to do. We should go black-owned or nothing. And you can do that.
Okay, I have another caller.
Go ahead.
53, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment. I think that as far as protesters, I think you look at the law, like in Kenosha. Obviously, you can carry AR-15 in Kenosha in open view. And I think if we had peaceful protesters with an AR-15, you probably would got nobody killed. When somebody going to approach me and you have a weapon, I'm going to treat you a lot different than if you don't have one. And I think all the people that we're talking about, everybody we're talking about that are killed have no weapon. All these cases, you name them, Trayvon Martin, you just name them, Breonna Taylor, all of them, they have no weapons and they're getting killed. If I had came back out of that apartment, I bet you they would have regrouped at Breonna Taylor's place. And I think that every black person in particular that's legally qualified to buy a weapon, he should own an AR-15 and other weapons just like they do.
And I guarantee you,
when they know that we're armed up just like they are, they will treat you a lot different, because everybody I hear you talking about, they do not have a weapon, and they're still dead. And as far as protesting, this 17-year-old walking down the street, and people said he just shot somebody. But you know what? The police didn't even bother about arresting him at that time. because he had an AR-15 on him. And I think that all the people.
He talked to the police.
Right. Mm-hmm. They didn't do nothing to him.
I watched the video
because he was,
where
he was armed.
And the police talked to him and let him leave.
Yeah.
Turned his back
he's
to
on.
The
they,
and walked
they
back to the car.
Right. And they tell him he just shot somebody. Well, people think different when you are armed too. And I think this is the problem with black people. I keep looking at all these black young men in particular getting killed, and none of them have weapons. None of them. They've been better. I almost assure you if they had a weapon, they wouldn't have been killed because the police would try to work something out with you and try to reason. I've seen them go into places. We see it on TV all the time where they would go in, and men shooting back at them, they'll negotiate with him. They finally get him out, and nobody gets hurt. Why is that? Because he's armed, and they treat you different when they know you're armed. And I listen to the big city mayors, whether they're Democratic mayors or Republican mayors. They say there are too many guns on the street. But the NRA, they want you to buy guns, and white people want you to have guns because they're the only ones with them. Most black people don't have guns. They can legally have them. They don't have a gun. So they will keep the guns on the street. But I guarantee you if every black qualified person that owned the weapon would go out and buy one and that word get around, and it will get around that blacks are armed up, you will see these laws change. They get guns off the street in these big cities.
I agree with you.
More weapons than anybody now.
I mean, I think what's important. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead and say what you were going to say, and then I have another caller, 5240, and I want them to make a comment or a question, but you go ahead first, Justice. Then I'm going to bring 5240.
What I was going to say in my response to that, you know, as I agree, you know, that we, you know, we should be armed and things of that nature, but you don't think that, you know, for any moment, you know, like I said, anything's going to be given, right? When you talk about someone being armed and, you know, they're going to treat you different, you know, yeah, they're going to treat you different, definitely depending on what color you are. You know, when you look at, you know, the Black Panthers of self-defense, you go back and you read Fred Hampton's story, you know. They came into his house and just shot it up. And we'll make up the story later. Similar to Breonna Taylor. Literally, you look at their story, it's almost identical. The only difference was Fred Hampton was still in his bed.
Okay.
You know, so I think we have
to,
you know, one, make sure we know the laws. We got to get the laws changed. Change into a matter where, you know, even I think in general for you not to be able to, for it to be illegal for you to be able to carry your arms as a citizen, you know, I think that's something that has to be looked at because if your life is in danger, you should be able to, you know, should be able to survive.
5240, do you have a comment or question?
Yes, the last caller, you know, I believe in the same thing that, you know, more blacks should have guns. I can't stress that enough. More blacks
I
should carry guns.
Whether it should be legal
and,
or illegal, I think they should have them.
Yes, guns, but also, what Justin talking about too, now whites going to teach you a little bit, whites will treat you different if you black with a gun than a white guy with a gun. I've seen that a few times, you know, firsthand. I've seen where a white guy came out of outside with a big-ass rifle. Two police officers just talked to him. They didn't even raise their damn hand, and I'm looking like, what? But like I said, you should always be armed. But as an African-American, you have to treat your arm way different from what and carry yours way different from how they do those. And not only that, you have to have insurance, you have to have protected, and you damn right well better get a lawyer on your side. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't you think that goes to white privilege?
Yeah, true. But you got to, but like I said, yeah, that's true. But like I said, as a black person, like I got the NRA, I got the USC, and my daughter worked at a law firm, and I got $2,000 on retainer fee at the law firm. My thing is just for hell's, in case something happens, and I use it, I got to get lawyered up, I got to get insurance up, and all that because as a black man, you know what I'm saying, I probably conceal mine more, but I do carry a gun. I like carrying guns. Matter of fact, I'm deep in love with guns. But my thing, but as a black man, you still have to carry yours different, and you have to have, you know, because even if you do it, if you're black and you say, you like you said, be illegal. Then, okay, well, if you unleak with the guns, that's really going to throw you on the bus or in prison or rid of them to shoot you. The first thing they're going to say, okay, if he was illegal and, you know, not just random out there shooting and bringing the guns out, I think you have to use it at the right time, the right place. Like I said, the guns is not the bad person. It's just that you can't go in there firing. But I believe protecting my family and, you know, protecting me. But also I know that if you're African-American, more than just having a gun, you should be in groups. You have some gun, and you should have a lawyer already on retainer fee. That's just in case something happens. Okay, you know what I mean? I had to survive for myself. I had to, you know what I mean? Because, and even a lawyer told me this right here. Two lawyers told me this right here. Two white lawyers said that even when you get downtown, don't talk to the police. Regardless of what they say, say, I'm waiting on my lawyer. Y'all don't need to talk to me because all they're going to do is make the situation worse. Especially if you're African American. Like I said, the white guy shoots somebody, the police got to go pick him up next week or whatever, but the black guy don't have that chance. Even if he didn't fire that gun, when you say somebody shot, they're going to stop you, pull you over, check your gun out. You ain't going home. A black man didn't go home. I remember some years ago at a club, gas station by a club, and this was 98, 99, whatever. Okay, it was some shooting going on. Black guys had a gun, but they had never fired the gun. The police stopped everybody. You know, there's a lot of black clubs around. Police came out of everywhere, stopped some black guys in a Chevrolet Malibu. The guy said, yeah, I got a gun. It wasn't him. Don't you know that the police put them in the back seat, talked to him, and all this other BS. But he wasn't the one that never fired the gun. Just because he had a gun, they confiscated the gun. To put both of them in the back seat hours before he got a stuff bike. And the reason why he got a stuff bike because he was in the Navy and he had his stuff together, but still, if that had been a white man in that Malibu, he would have went home a few minutes later. So, like I said, anytime you African American can't be gun ho, but you got to be smart about the situation, about the gun laws, when to use it, when not to use it. And don't brag about it to even blacks or either, you know, white guys, counterparts. Just, hey, just let them know I ain't got nothing. But show you, if you come in my house, you're going to be met with a lot of firepower. Same thing I told my son. He got ARs, Glock, shotgun, rifle. And that's because something I taught him a long time ago. Now, my daughters, they still on the scary side. But him, he was like, oh, yeah, Pops, I got that. This is what I got. Look in the trunk. Bam, boy, I'm proud of you, boy. Yeah, you got some real firepower to do some major damage. But like I said, you still have to be smart about it. You still have to go out there and, you know, you have to be smart. As African-Americans, you have to be more smart because they're not going to let you walk down the street and some fire shot off and you just go. I never seen a black person had a gun. And the white police just talk to you calmly. They always told them to get out the car and pull a gun on black. I've seen white folks have guns, and police just talk to them finally. Don't even pull out their Glocks and that. Just talk to them finally and bullshit like that. So, like I said, it's white privileges, but you understand that's going to happen. In America, you know you're not going to get the breaks that they get. But the breaks that you do get, you have to be smart about the situation. I can't stress this enough. And, you know, I know Justin and all that. I know he got daughters and all that, but at the same time he got daughters, he should start teaching his daughters when they get about 12 or 13, hey, okay, you know, his family, okay, it's time for me to take you to the gun range. It's time for us to start, you know what I'm saying, being smart about what we got to do. I'm saying, so you can get your kids involved, you know what I'm saying, smart young man, so, you know what I'm saying,
well,
so he got to let us, so he got to let his wife and all them know, hey, I got to get them ready. You know what I'm saying? Just the backup.
We already.
They need to be familiar with it. Okay, that's good. You know what I'm saying? But I think more African Americans need to be not scared, not let the kids be scared. You know what I'm saying? By the time they get grown women, finish college,
I agree.
Before then,
I think.
Ready.
I agree. I mean, I think
range.
That goes more with just the narrative of how we teach, you know, guns in general. You know, not even just guns, but like how we teach, you know, and our perception of black people, you know, because when you first hear, psychologically, you know, our subconscious is where I'm talking at now. Black man with a gun is always immediately something negative, right?
Yeah,
but
that's true.
At the same time, with our subconscious, when we think, you know, white man with a gun, it's like, oh, what was he doing? You know, we have to change that whole narrative, and we have to do that not just, you know,
like
other people, but we got to make sure we're doing that to ourselves and understanding
but
one, not just our laws.
Does not think like
but,
that.
You say what?
Everybody doesn't think like what you just said.
Correct.
There may
I'm not saying everyone does.
A lot of them that do, but everybody doesn't.
Correct. And we got to make sure there's more people who don't think like that.
A black man or a black woman has a gun. If they have a gun, I think they have a good reason to have a gun.
That's how we should think.
Well, that's how I think.
What we said, but whites don't see us like that. When we have a gun, it's we up to no good. But like I said,
you know, what do they label us? Thugs.
Yeah.
Gang members. You know, super predators. You know, what do they come up with all fancy names for us, you know. But when it's vice versa, it's like, well, this is this person's name. He supports this. No. He's a thug. He's a criminal. He's a gangster. Like we have to change not just our perception, if our perception is that way. And I'm not saying all of our perception is that way. But I think it's very important for us to acknowledge that and call that out. You know, for what it is, every single time. We can't let a moment of that go by, you know. And then, two, we got to make sure we understand how we conduct ourselves, our image, and how we showcase ourselves to the world matters, you know. And we got to take advantage. We can't just sit back and just, you know, think someone's going to give us something, you know. We have to.
We have given the United States every damn thing they have. We built this country.
But, correct.
Built it with slaves.
Correct.
But it don't mean shit.
I don't give a damn about them. I want what's due.
Yo, okay, well, good luck with that.
So far as them respect, I don't respect nobody who don't respect me. Respect is earned. And that's how I
correct.
See it.
I agree. That's how
I
go through life.
I agree. That's how I do life now.
Okay, I have another caller. 1053, you have a question or comment?
The facts are, it isn't the people with the guns that are getting shot. Black criminals with guns don't get shot. I don't know of any personal. I can't think of a personal situation where I know a black guy with a gun that got shot by police. It's always people without a gun, or we thought he had a gun or she had a gun, but they didn't. The black criminals with guns are not getting shot. This is what you failing to realize. People with guns are not getting shot down. It's the people without guns that are meek, humble, and basically good people. But the real criminals, black criminals, white criminals, they manage to escape getting shot. They are not being shot down like dogs seven times in the back. I don't have no other case I can think of where a black criminal or a white criminal got shot down in the back seven times. They are not shooting. They're not getting killed. The facts are
they know not
to
turn their back.
Right. They're killing innocent black people. They're killing of the people that are really meek and humble because nothing's going to happen. All we're going to hear is let us pray and let us march, and that's it. And black people go all day.
And then
they say, okay,
gonna
fine.
Be stupid ones that's talking about forgiveness, turning
right.
the cheek.
That's all you're going to hear.
Till they kill a
talk
person, their family, they can pray about that and turn the other cheek and forgive them like they always do, where they can keep on doing it because guess what? Black people are so forgiving, a lot of them.
Right. I say forgive, but I don't forget that you
shot this gentleman
down in the back seven times. Police react to people according to how violent people are. If they know you're not violent, they will treat you worse than they do a guy with a gun, and they know he's violent. They know this guy going to fire back on him, and he's going to resist. So they handle him a lot different. You have to keep your eye on the ball. It isn't criminals that are getting killed. Think about it. From your own personal knowledge, how many black guys you know that are real criminals that commit crime all the time, carry a gun, get stopped by the police, how many of them get shot and killed? It's always the innocent people that are basically real good people. They're not criminal violators. Those are the ones that the police take advantage of. And until we stand up to the police, there's got to be a consequence for all these police killings. And I'm not talking about taking them to trial. You got to take them somewhere else for justice. And when black people start thinking like that, believe you me, police will stop treating you that way when they know there's going to be a repercussion. Like they used to say in like cities like Detroit and Chicago, they call it street justice. Sometimes some street justice have to take place, and it'll stop all of this police brutality without any probable cause, just killing, especially young black people, just killing them. And then you get the president of the United States come in and back them up. Or maybe he had self-defense. Somebody come in with a skateboard and a knife, and he got an AR-15. He's scared because they're cowards anyway. That's why they walk around with the AR-15s. But the minute somebody approached them with a skateboard, they say one of the people shot had a skateboard and the other one had a knife. So we know who they are, but we just have to keep an eye on the ball. It isn't the criminals that are getting killed. It's our young black law-abiding citizens that are getting killed, and we have to do something about that. And I don't believe in violence as a first reaction, but I think that you should follow the law. Just like in Michigan, when they showed up with the militia with their guns and went into the state capitol in Lansing with guns on, they didn't do nothing. You know why? It was legal. They said it was legal. They could carry open weapons in Michigan. That's legal. Well, black people should do the same thing. I bet you they'll change the law then. You'll see a change in the law then. If black people start exercising their right to carry weapons and carry them openly, don't worry, that law will be changed. Where you can walk into some states, you can walk into a bar with a gun, a visibly showing. Well, if black people start really doing that and going to white establishment, you better believe that law will be changed. And they would get
the
guns off the
street. Well, I will say this. In Alabama, Kentucky, open state, I have seen a lot of black people, you know, walk around with their guns openly. You know, I will say
that.
And
how many of them got shot?
No, none of them. I mean, it's very
none
common.
No, right, none of them. That's the point I'm making. Yeah, when they know you got a weapon and they don't know if you're using it or not, because they really don't know who you are. All they know is you got a weapon. AR-15.
I mean, but as far as the laws being changed, the laws get changed once you become angry with that weapon. You know, that's when the law, whether you're using it or not, it's when you're angry. I mean, you look at, like, because I agree with you. You know, when you look at when the Black Panthers walked into the government hall in California, you know, the NRA literally assisted the government with writing a law to ban and criminalize their action, right? So I 100% agree with you. And I think that it's important that, you know, we do understand the law, we do know the laws. You know, I mean, I know for me growing up, I was taught in general that a gun is bad. You know, don't have a gun regardless, nothing about a gun is good, this, that, and the other. Instead of being taught, you know, this is a gun here, this is how you clean a gun, this is how you use a gun, you know, this is not a toy, you know, this is for protection, this is real, you know what I mean? Instead of, yeah.
My grandma had a gun, my uncles had guns, everybody had guns.
My father had one. I believe he still did.
So it was nothing to me. My grandma was old and had guns. Okay, I have another caller, 3377. Do you have a comment or a question? 3377?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead, Justin.
Did you have a comment?
I guess not. He said no. Okay. Also, Justin, what should black people do if they are stopped by the police?
Well, I mean, if you're stopped by the police, I always recommend, you know, settling things, you know, in court. I think settling things in court is always a smarter and safer route, you know. And at that point, they really have no ammunition against you, right? But in general, you know, you had to make sure you understand, you know, your surroundings and understand your action. Make sure you have a clear head and thought process. I mean, we see how fast certain decisions, you know, can change and alter people's lives forever, right? You look at, you know, Philando Castile. I bet he had no idea he was about to lose his life right then and there. You know, an armed black man, you know, law-abiding citizen, just going along with his life with his fiance and his daughter in the back seat. You know, so I mean, I don't think we should necessarily have to give police officers extra information unless the law requires us to. I think, you know, understanding what our local law is. You know, I mean, it's actually pretty easy to read. It's not hard. You know, it's not, you know, rocket science or like you have to be a lawyer to interpret it. You know, but just understanding what we can and cannot do, I think that's first, educating ourselves. You know, two, recognizing our backup plan and our go-to plan is, hey, I'll just beat you in court. But if you feel for your life, if you feel like it's a moment where it's my life versus yours, I would always tell you to choose your own and work it out later. That's what the other side was going to do. I mean, like, I will always pick myself, you know, over the next person, regardless of who or what the next person is. You know, I mean, like, whether it's another just regular average Joe, you know, whether it's a cop, whether it's, I mean, who, regardless. And the Supreme Court actually rules in favor of the citizens of being able to protect themselves against even cops, including and not excluding killing them. So if you feel like it was a moment where it was your life versus their life, and this is the only means of survival, and you take the officer's life, you can be held as innocent in the eyes of the Supreme Court. I mean, it's not just one case. It's multiple cases. And I think us understanding that, you know, and us understanding the law and understanding, hey, self-preservation, you know, I'm protecting myself. At the end of the day, hey, if you're scared, I'm scared. You know, I bet a lot of people stop getting scared. I mean, one of the two is going to happen.
Okay, I want to talk about white privilege because that's what it has a lot to do with, especially with that 17-year-old boy shooting people and killing them and then critically injuring somebody else. Okay.
You lost an arm.
Right, because with white privilege, they have the privilege of, white people have positive relationships with the police.
Not always, but yes. Yeah, I mean, the general dynamics of that, absolutely. You know, their general, you know, interactions with them are, you know, they're somehow the victim always.
Way more favorable.
Yes.
Than what black people have.
I agree.
Okay. Also, with the benefits of white privilege, okay, a lot of times they're favored more in school with their authorities in school, especially if it's a mixed school where they have black and white students. Usually white students are more favored.
Yeah.
And also,
I think we got to take control of that, though. I think we as black people, we got to start taking control of that. You know, I think that's 100% right, and I don't think that's going to change unless we take control of a lot of that. You know,
okay.
Like,
also,
what do you say?
Also, with the white privilege, white students have the privilege of learning about their race in school, and most black students have to take black history as 100%. An elective.
Correct. That's crazy.
And it's also easier for white people to find children's books that represent their race. And it's harder for black people to find. I mean, there are some, but white people can go out and just instantly find them. And also with the white media always showing pictures of the white killers that they humanize them and make them look loving. And at the same time, they will demonize a black victim and make up something, look into their background to see if they ever got any trouble, if they were arrested, and things like that.
And that starts early. That's honestly that school to prison pipeline. You know, like, that's really where that stems from. You know, like, if you look at, and when you talk about, like, white privilege, this is the craziest thing. Someone with privilege don't even realize it because they don't see it. They're ignorant to it, right? It's like, I have no idea. I never had that experience happen to me. That's a problem. If everyone else is having this experience happening to them on a day-to-day basis and you're not, and there's one thing that's different.
Right, and
you know,
they're always
that
denial.
That waking up, you know, that, I mean, it's like we gotta call that out.
Right, and they have a lot of economic benefits from white privilege, like stolen land from Native Americans. The infrastructure of this country was built by slave labor. Cooking and house cleaning, child care and maintenance of the society was done by low wage paid black women. And not much has changed today because black people still do the hardest, most dangerous work and still get paid a low wage. And white people enjoy the benefits from black exploitation. Not only that, there's this misconception by white people that all people are given equal opportunities and start them on a level playing field. And black people are not given a level playing field. So why are these white people always denying this?
I mean, I think in general, that type of question you have to ask, you know, white people. I mean, I think that's specifically directly towards them. I think from white people that I've talked to and I've seen, for those who just refuse to acknowledge it, I think a lot of it's guilt, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think a lot of it is just not wanting to acknowledge, you know, privilege, not wanting to recognize it, you know, and sometimes that can be willfully and that can be ignorantly, you know. But I think most of it is stemming from, you know, guilt and pride. And then you had to realize there's a large section of white communities that do acknowledge it and accept it and enjoy it, and they want to keep it that way. You know, they're like, yeah, this is how it is. You're absolutely right. We understand. We see exactly what's going on. You know, and we got to understand that this is how the system was built. This is what it is designed and doing exactly what it was designed to do. You know, and I think, you know, we have to take control. I mean, I don't think violence, you know, is the only way. I think, you know, we do have to go and vote. And I'm not talking necessarily always about the presidential election, but like local election. We have to go not just vote, but also run for office. You know, we have to get on the school boards and actually force that change. We're the people making that decision. You know, and that actually isn't that hard. You know, we have to become, you know, do these things locally. You know, I think taking over our local government is one of the most important things. And, you know, one of the things that was even given the chance to me that I even rejected, like, I never saw myself as a police officer, but we have to start seeing more black cops and more black cops, you know, standing up for the actual liberty of black people. You know, I think if we continue to leave it in someone else's hands, I don't think we're ever going to get the true justice, you know, or get the true change that we're truly looking for. I think as long as we're not the ones with that power, then, you know, we're going to be in the situation, the status that we're in.
So how do you think we as a black community can deal with the legacy of trauma that continues today? Because it has never ended.
Correct. I think how do we deal with that? I think, all right, so there's steps,
right?
First, we have to acknowledge the psychological brainwash that is going on. We have to acknowledge that. You know, we have to when we as parents and as we're raising our kids and just the people we surround ourselves with, we have to, you know, push out there that, hey, you know, a black person is beautiful. You know, a black person isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's something
right.
powerful. You know, it's something meaningful and put more pride into ourselves.
Okay, 6598, do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. You asked the speaker about a question regarding why is it that white people, you know, they don't recognize what they have done. It was something to that fact. And he couldn't answer the question for you because he said, ask a white person. But I don't have to be a white person to answer that question. That question.
Well, I think I did acknowledge that question.
You acknowledged it, but you didn't answer it. But at the same time, I'm just stating the fact that I'm not a white person. I am African American. But at the same time, for that question right there, I'm stating that a lot of white people these days, especially some that I might have grown up with, because I know I am in my 50s, but at the same time, for what I've heard and I've spoken to many of them, I know a lot of them feel like they haven't done anything wrong to black people. And some of them, they may be correct. But the thing is that at the same time, they are benefiting off of everything that our ancestors have built. So they are afraid, very afraid of repercussions, because eventually somebody's going to reap what their grandfather sowed. And I know that they are fearful of that, but they cannot come to the concept that they did anything wrong, because in their sense, they really haven't done anything wrong. But in living off of the benefit that they have gotten, they should know how to humble themselves, because if it had not been for those maids, those butlers, and everybody else that did that work in the United States who came off of that boat, or those Indians that were here, they wouldn't have never been taken care of, because we were the ones taking care of everything for them. So that's why a lot of them feel like they are privileged. And that's my statement to that.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a comment, Justin?
Yeah, my comment, I mean, I think that, you know, white privilege is real. I think that I agree that a lot of white people feel like, you know, they haven't, you know, done anything wrong. And so they don't understand why they should feel guilty or shame. I agree there, you know. And what I try to explain to those people, because, I mean, I grew up with a lot of people. I'm going to be honest. I went to a school where there wasn't very many blacks. You know, my elementary school, I mean, less than five, I would say less than 10 blacks, 10 minorities in general. No.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Park without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not start that.